VentureCast.
At Baker's, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in-store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Hello, and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show, featuring Jason Zook. In uncertain times, we must change our focus and priorities. This show will highlight social justice issues with the goal of expanding minds and increasing unity, love, and mutual respect for ourselves and our planet. We support the Black Lives Matter movement. Our show aspires to promote social spirituality, which simply means that by coming together, we can solve any of our problems, including the goal of bringing an end to all forms of hate, discrimination, bias, or oppression. We must protect our environment, reform our criminal justice system, and protect every citizen from police brutality. When we come together, it becomes possible to bridge the gaps that plague our society and divide us from within. We the people means everyone.
Hello and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show. This is Jason Zook. It's a great pleasure I have the opportunity of presenting special guest Dr. Jay Uecker to the show today, helping you embody your soul's essence. As a chiropractor and a healer, Dr. Jay has been helping people navigate the ups and downs of their healing journeys for the last 20 years. He's a developer of the Bio-Soul Integration, a body-centered energy healing technique that facilitates deep, embodied spiritual healing and soul integration. Dr. Uecker is also the author of If It Didn't Hurt, How to Resolve Your Pain and Discover Your Life Purpose. His mission is to help you embody your soul's gifts and express your soul's purpose on this planet. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Dr. Jay Uecker to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
My pleasure. I love that you have embodied not only being a chiropractor, but then also going into a spiritual direction. And I wanted to ask you, when did you first begin your journey spiritually to incorporate knowledge that you can derive spiritually into your chiropractic practice as a healer?
Feels like the journey, chiropractic was just sort of like a step on the path that started, you know, when I was a little kid. But I guess to clearly answer your question, I got into chiropractic through conventional chiropractic, more about what people think about when, what most people think of when they think chiropractic, you know, you're the popping and cracking and adjusting kind of chiropractic, but there's lots of different forms of chiropractic out there. And I found my way into a more energetically oriented technique that sort of lends itself more to spiritual work, which is something called network spinal analysis or network chiropractic. Found my way into that towards the end of my chiropractic school. That was about 20 years ago when I graduated. And so I practiced that technique through my whole professional career. But along the way, probably about 10 years into my professional career, worked on a couple thousand people, I started to just notice like, oh, I feel compelled to sort of like go here or do this with people, and didn't necessarily know where it fit into the technique, you know? And so there was some conflict there for a little bit, but it just kind of coincided with a point in my life when I think I was feeling called to take more responsibility for my own journey and my own healing journey. And I discovered through a mentor and teacher of mine, discovered mindfulness meditation. And so kind of penetrating my experience, my life experience with a little more awareness. And this thing that was calling me while I was working on people just really came to the surface more strongly. And with this mentor and teacher, he would do these, you'd work with him to help bring more presence while you're doing a session with someone. And he said one time, like, watch the river of chi. And I was like, oh, actually, I know what that is. Amazingly, I know what you're talking about. You know, to some people you would be talking gibberish, but I know what you're talking about. It's this thing that's been calling me while I work with people. My intuition the intelligence that's in the river of chi. So I started following that. And since I have started following that, the things being able to go deeper with my clients, and it's a lot more fun for me. So
I just want to ask you as a follow-up for our audience, in case someone's tuning into this and they never heard the word chi before.
Okay.
You just define that based on your understanding.
Sure. Chi. Well, there is I would say just the foundation for everything on some level is energy.
I call it like a universal energy force, but I didn't know if you had a different definition or not in terms of like how the audience, I always try to break things down for lay people. Like I did pranic healing and I've done Reiki myself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great when we could see someone like yourself, a chiropractor, delve into these areas. Cause for myself, like a lawyer and then doing energy healing and psychic stuff, you know, it's just the parameters of what our show is right now. You're on the show that this talks about these things. So I love the fact that you've decided to make this part of your focus as well. Cause I know there's a lot of chiropractors that don't go into chi or energy healing. Is that right?
Sure. They stay more on the structural side of things in general. But like I said, I think, you know, there is the basic back office to everything is energy.
I agree 100%.
And so that the flow of that energy, it's the energy that sort of animates everything to life. It's the thing that connects us all and animates everything to life. So
I want to ask you,
that's what I would say chi is.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's been your colleagues' reactions as you delve into this stuff and promote it through your business?
Oh, sure. Well, like I said, well, the first maybe sense of, you know, pushback or whatever, or, you know, conflict or whatever happened in school, because I've been doing this kind of energetic form of chiropractic on some level since graduated from chiropractic school. And so that's where I started to get into it. And certainly the school that I went to Northwestern College of Chiropractic in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And it's a pretty medically oriented school. It's a pretty mechanistic school. And what this thing that I was doing, network chiropractic, network spinal analysis, it was seen as voodoo. And I definitely was seen as a strange cat by teachers and things like that. So, I mean, there were lots of other students but some friends of mine and students that were doing similar, you know, exploring similar things.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't like I was alone, but in the school in general, you had to kind of keep it. You had to like do their thing. You had to jump through the hoops there and do your own thing on the side, sort of.
What do you find for yourself? Like, as I've delved into more spiritual aspects of my life, I find that there's a lot of gratification about being able to work with people and help people with healing on my level as a psychic medium or as the things I do. What have you found to be the most rewarding aspect for you in delving into this stuff and incorporating into your chiropractic practice?
Well, you know, the thing that sort of struck me on some level, all through my life, I'd known that the body has a capacity to heal itself. I always had that sense. That's why chiropractic at a young age sort of, it connected me with that. And that's how I ended up being a chiropractor. But the thing that got me into the next level, so to speak, I mean, I had sort of an awakening while I was in school, leaving this chiropractor, this woman who did this more energetic form of chiropractic. I left her office and I had sort of an awakening. And, you know, like where the colors and the sky was alive in a way I don't remember. The colors and the trees were more vivid. I had this amazing feeling sort of like moving through my body, energy moving from this place where my low back usually hurt through my heart. And I was sort of thinking had all these thoughts about how life was the possibilities and all the good things that were possible. And that was unusual for me, to be honest. So looking back, I recognize that was gratitude. At the time, I didn't know what's this amazing feeling. But looking back, I realized it was a gratitude. And one of the things that happened was that kind of like sold me on the thing was that like a veil had been removed from my eyes. I saw how if I was having trouble in school, if I was having trouble in life, if it was hard in any way, that I was really my own problem, basically. And I could see, suddenly I could see, which I couldn't see before somehow. I could see like, oh, I'm my own problem. And and choices, you know, you can change then. And choices that I couldn't see before were suddenly available. And so that whole thing, and then my chronic low back pain went away, or it drastically changed. And so I was like, okay, this is something I want to share with people. That's the thing that sort of motivated me to start doing that and sharing it with other people, is I wanted to help them remove these veils. I wanted them to have this sort of same experience I'd had of having this connection, having those veils removed and having this connection with their body. Like somehow my back pain was related to that.
I believe it's all interconnected, mind, body, spirit kind of stuff. And I'm sure from what I was looking at your information, you're the same way. Yeah. I want to ask you this.
Yeah, totally.
Do you believe you've had a spiritual awakening in your past to help trigger your spiritual path? Because that's usually a common denominator. A lot of people have an awakening. Like for me, it was my grandfather passing away, and that woke me up to be a spiritual medium, a psychic medium after that experience. I want to ask, have you had something similar like that yourself that you'd like to share?
Well, like I said, I mean, the first kind of thing that I've experienced that was sort of awakening, like, was this experience I had after leaving this chiropractor's office. Again, I had been seeing life through a certain lens, and all of a sudden that lens had been removed. But I mean, along the way, I think, you know, what got me into that place was an accident I'd had on a three-wheeler. And while I had crested a pile of dirt with that thing, and it started to fall back on me. And in the middle of it falling back on me, like, time stopped. And I remember looking back, I remember like, I was like, oh, observing the situation, you know, and I could see that I was not going to escape without serious injury, or maybe this was it. The time had stopped. And though that was the case, that I could see that I probably was going to be injured, like, I was super calm about it. And so, and then time started again, and this thing crashed on me. But, you know, I feel like something happened in that moment, like these moments of like intense attention. I think like I connected with a place that transcends time and space, my soul or whatever. I was like, okay, now is the time when we're going to start, you know, this event is going to sort of send you down a certain career path, you know, certain life path. And so you could say that was an awakening moment, even though I didn't realize it until later. But I think that's the case for a lot of people. Injuries, accidents, traumas are often awakening moments, whether they realize it or not.
And I can completely see that, because people even come for me for psychic readings have indicated that when they've had a bad back injury, that it might put them on a whole different life path because of that pain and those experiences and the detour it takes. And I want to ask you, what's your belief of where pain derives from?
What is my belief? Well, another mentor and teacher of mine, his name's Donald Epstein. He's the guy that created that technique that I keep mentioning. But he says that if you're not living your purpose on the planet, it's supposed to hurt, and nothing is supposed to take that pain away. So I feel like that's true. I feel like what I notice is that a lot of the life is, I feel like life is always, everything that we encounter in life is life kind of trying to nudge us towards realizing our authentic selves, which is a version of ourselves in which our soul's gifts are integrated into our bodies such that we can share those gifts on the planet. And if we're doing that, you're living your authentic self. You're living your purpose. You're going to just automatically find yourself living your purpose, you know? And I think life is always nudging us in that direction, because life, this planet, everyone on it, I think it needs you, Jason, to do the thing that you came here to do. Right. And life, I think, is kind of nudging us in that direction all the time. And if we don't listen, pain is just an awesome way to get you to stop and pay attention.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's the only thing. Often I think it's like the only thing that's going to stop anyone and make them pay attention. And so on some level, that's what I think pain is. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional pain, whatever it is, on some level, I think that's what pain is.
Kind of like when they say whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's kind of like the indication that pain might be a force of nature in a way. We don't think of it as such, but in many ways we grow from our pain.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think if your listeners think about it, like the major changes that they made in their lives, the major decisions they made in their lives, I bet they'd find that often they were kind of nudged into that by something painful, not necessarily physical pain, but some kind of like, oh, some kind of challenge.
I could see that. I could see that. What's your viewpoint about trying to discover your authentic self? How do you think people should try to do that if they have a struggle with it?
How should they try to do that? Well, on some level, it doesn't matter what you do. Life is nudging us in that direction. It may take, I don't know if you believe in like, you know, multiple lifetimes or not.
I do.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know.
I'm open to
sure.
it.
Okay. But I think life is nudging us towards that, whether it happens this time or to some degree this time, or it takes multiple lifetimes. Like life is constant. The things that we encounter are constantly asking us to increase our awareness and to embody more of our soul's characteristics, our soul's gifts. And so on one level, if you don't do anything, it's still going to happen. Life is trying to do that to you all the time. But anything that you do to bring more attention and more awareness to your life, especially to the sensations in your body, that's a big key. Cause like we experience it through these bodies. And so if you bring your attention to the sense, Eckhart Tolle, I don't know if have you ever heard of Eckhart Tolle?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. You know, some people say no, but you know, he's like a spiritual teacher. He wrote Power of Now. He wrote a book called A New Earth, but he was on Oprah, pretty famous spiritual teacher guy. But he says that one of the, you know, the biggest things that you can do is to, on some level, bring your attention, let at least some part of your attention resting on the sensations in your body at all times. And when we do that, it's sort of, again, there's a way that life is kind of nudging us to change. And when we bring our attention to the sensations in our body, it lubricates that process. It speeds that up. It makes it more apparent. So that's kind of a simple instruction I would give.
What do you think it means when you embody your pain's wisdom?
I don't think that people are generally aware. Often pain is bound up energy, and that's all it is really. There are certain, help maybe keep me on track. If I go, I might lose track of my thought there, but there are certain developmental stages that unfold throughout our lifetimes. And, you know, we've maybe have done ourselves a certain way. Maybe we needed to protect ourselves a certain way and push certain parts of ourselves away early on to survive on some level. And we needed to do that. And that's okay. But life says, okay, in order to work on this next part of the journey, this next stage of the journey, we're going to need to come into relationship with that part of ourselves, and life and our bodies will sort of conspire to bring that to the surface. So paradoxically, all of the energy that we need and all of the information that we need and wisdom, if you want to call it that, that we need to move to the next stage of our evolution is often in the pain. Literally, like we're not aware. Like, so in our system from the get-go, when we're in the womb, our nervous system, the part of our nervous system that's online, this primitive part that's sort of feeling into the people around us. And we feel all the ways relating directly to the energetic back office of everyone. Right. And we see how their system says, oh, it's not safe to feel this part of myself. It's not safe to feel this part of myself. And I rely on them for my safety. And that's what everyone's doing. So that's what I'll do. And so we start to build ourselves. We create these programs in our system and we start to build ourselves that way. And we use physical tension. We use our posture to wall tension off in our body. And then it manifests also, we put a limit on the range and depth of emotion. It affects the stories that we tell ourselves, our belief systems. But I don't think people are aware really of how much like physical stuff actually. We use tension in our body. We use to wall off energy, to wall off parts of ourselves that we've learned are not safe to feel. And so life at certain points will say, okay, it's time to come into relationship with this part of you. And when that happens, then this energy wants to come to the surface. And often that will show up as pain. And so that, just want to just make the point that energy like literally contains wisdom. It literally contains the information that we need to evolve into the next stage of our evolution.
You know, one of my examples, I think for firsthand, when I hear that idea is, if you have gotten emotionally hurt by somebody, you're disappointed from a breakup or some friend or somebody disappoints you really badly, and that's walled up inside you and you don't let go of that until you finally release it, and then you release it and you're a lot lighter. That to me would be a reflection of where you can let your pain out, grow from it and surrender to it and let it go.
Yeah, totally. It's not
occupying all that energy, all that space in your mind. And
It takes resources to, that happens probably in that situation. They're helping you come into relationship with a part of yourself that you've probably been pushing down from way back when.
I would just say that from my vantage point, I always tell my audience that if you can let go of negativity from the past, you'll be empowered to live a much better future.
Yeah. You're not seeing through the same lens.
Because you're letting go of all that excess baggage left on from all the years of pain. And by letting it go, you liberate yourself.
I know what I was going to say based on that, riffing on what you're talking about, is that, we use resources to hold, to push that stuff down. It's like a computer hard drive or something that's got too much information. You know, the hard drive's too full. Like we try to do something too fast. It can't do that. And it crashes. Like it takes resources to push that stuff down all the time. Cause it kind of goes against the nature of nature. Life wants that to come to the surface, and we're dedicating resources to constantly, you know, not looking at that, keeping that pushed down. And so those are resources that you don't get to use for other things that you need resources for in life. So, yeah.
What is your favorite part of what you're doing right now that you'd like to share with the audience?
My favorite part, I sort of discovered, the weird thing that I discovered was that what I'm doing is I'm bringing my attention to the sensations in my body, and I'm meeting everything that I find there with kind attention. And when I let my eyes rest on the person that I'm working with, these sensations come to the surface in me that are saying, hey, pay more attention to us. And by paying more attention to the sensations in me, and also bringing my hands somewhere on or around the person's body, these sensations start to resolve in me. And then it's apparent that something is resolving in them too. And so I get into this like flow where I don't have to think about anything. It's almost like something else is doing it. Like it feels, this was a conflict for me. When I first kind of discovered this, was that it feels really good in here. On some level, the reason I'm doing it is because it feels really good in my body. That was kind of a weird, like, I'm doing it for me, really. I'm not really doing it for them, because I'm not really doing anything to them. I'm not moving energy around or anything like that. I'm sort of helping them lubricate the flow of chi that life is naturally pushing through them. And so that's my favorite part, is the fact that there's awesome, amazing changes that happen in people. And it's not hard work. It's effortless on some level and fun.
I feel like if the average person learned pranic healing, Reiki healing, deep breathing techniques, meditation, that I feel like that can set someone on their own spiritual journey and learn how to manage their pain over time, like the way you've studied it through your chiropractic practice. I want to ask you, what's your opinion on that? If you can help the general public with understanding this stuff better, what would you say to someone listening to our audience about if they wanted to start becoming more well-versed in this stuff? They don't have to go to a practitioner every time. I believe that they could do a lot of it themselves if they learn and study it carefully over time.
Yeah, well, it's on some level a lifelong journey. I mean, like this journey of our evolution is a lifelong journey. So if anyone feels called in any way to anything like that, I mean, yeah, whether it's through a practitioner that they've experienced or through a book or whatever it is, just like trust. I know in myself, there's a lot of me, you know, I grew up on a farm in Nebraska, and I had a grew up in a sort of conservative Christian kind of fundamentalist religious background. And there were things about what I do now that I was resisting, you know. And yeah, if I could just offer anyone any advice, if they're feeling called to such things, just like, you know, follow the calling, check out the book, see this practitioner, sign up for the Reiki class, and just see what happens next, you know, trust the journey. Like life's not messing with you.
I know earlier I mentioned mind, body, spirit, and how I believe that they're interconnected. Can you share with our audience your beliefs on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's even, you know, because we live in these generally in these physical bodies, And we're very, I think, aware of, very aware. I can be very aware of how I'm separate. I'm a separate entity from you or from other people. And so I too find myself seeing that, like, you know, they say body, mind, mind, body, body slash mind, or mind slash body, as if it's the same thing. And that's the idea, that it is the same thing. But even I find myself in writing my book and whatnot, sort of wrestling with the idea of, like, wow, it's the same thing. Like, our mind and our body are the same thing. I think when I was just a little bit ago talking about how tension in our bodies is related to these sort of survival patterns that we've created, and somehow paradoxically also contains the wisdom, you know, of our soul and our spirit calling us. And so there really is some way in which we're all trying to figure out what exactly that means. Yeah. But it is the same thing. The mind, body, spirit, on, you know, it is this, our mind, body is the same thing. Body, mind is the same thing. Your thoughts are connected to what's going on in your body, and vice versa. What you're feeling is connected to what's happening in your body, and vice versa. Your emotions, whether you are connected with awe and gratitude and are thinking thoughts about how amazing life is, or whether you're having some other experience where you're in pain or depressed, or it's like, it's all connected to our bodies. And these bodies are a access point to spirit.
I've always told people in a simplistic way, we're coming up to Easter in a few months, and I tell people that from my experience as a psychic medium and reading thousands of people with deceased loved ones that come through and whatnot over the last 15 years, that the easiest way for my audience to understand mind, body, spirit, how I like to explain it, is that the body is the outside of the Cadbury egg, the shell. The spirit's what's inside. It's that gooey substance that makes us who we are. It's the energy that transcends life and death. And so that's how I've explained mind, body, spirit. Now, mind is obviously our thinking beings, but we also have a larger connection to that. Yeah. But I love the way you defined it. I like to throw a little.
I got to come up with a Cadbury egg analogy.
You can use mine if you'd like to. I have no problem with that. I'm not copying.
Some other Easter candy. Maybe.
I think it's so important that we start looking at ourselves as not just physical beings. I like to say that we're spiritual beings living in a human world. Right. That we are largely connected to those beyond ourselves, and that love is, from my vantage point, a unifying force, just like gravity. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, what's been the most fascinating part for you as you've embarked on your journey to try to help others heal and get them to understand what pain is and how it motivates one to live one's life? What's been the most fascinating part for you to do that and share with others?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I'm constantly reminded of is, again, that to start to have this awareness that life is not messing with us. We might have a tendency to think, like, if I'm in pain or I'm having challenges in life, like, life, you know, people think life is against me. Life is messing with me. It's just trying to make things hard. But everything that we encounter in life, we can actually trust life. Like, life is holding us. This life is holding us. It's like, you know, it's in the background saying, like, hey, we're trying to help you. You came here for a certain reason. You kind of forgot about that stuff. When you showed up, you kind of had to forget about that stuff. But we're trying to show you, you came here for a certain purpose, and you have certain gifts and certain skills. And we all, the earth and everyone on the planet needs you to do what you came here to do. And life is like trying to help you do it, and it's holding you. And so everything that we encounter in life is like especially challenges are a sort of portal or a gateway to our higher purpose, you know, even pain. I mean, literally, if I've had experiences where if you bring enough kind attention to your pain, let's say physical pain, if you bring enough kind attention to physical pain, it breaks up. It can break up and unfold. And there's emotions that come out of it and thoughts that come out of it. And, you know, it can unfold and sort of like you have this new awareness. That's been the thing that's been most amazing for me to see it unfold with my clients. And life kind of keeps showing me that you can trust.
Absolutely.
Trust.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your book and what motivated you to write it.
What motivated me to write it?
See, tell you about my book. Well, it's based on the idea that it's written around is this idea that pain is bound up intelligent energy that's trying to share its wisdom with you, and that everything that we encounter in life is life trying to nudge us towards our evolution, and that the best thing to do is to go towards it, go towards whatever is uncomfortable if you can. And I kind of show in my book how, again, some of the things I've already talked about, like how separation gets started when we come here, sort of like separation consciousness and these survival programs get set in, and how we actually build, it shows up as that bound up energy, shows up as tension in our bodies, as limited range and depth of emotion, as the belief systems that we tell the stories that we tell ourselves. And so I kind of like walk people through how it is that happens, and talk a lot about and have exercises and things like that to help people do what I'm talking about, which is actually bring their kind attention to their pain or their problem. So that's kind of what the book is about. But what prompted me was a major painful situation in my life. No surprise, which was my daughter. She's 7 and a half now, and she's healthy, beautiful, healthy daughter. But when she was 1 and a half, she had cancer. She had a kidney tumor, a rare kidney tumor. So like that experience, what your body mind goes through when that happens, it's, you know, the like sorrow that I felt, that was just not my sorrow, but like all of the sorrow of parents who've been through hard stuff, like who've had to go through that, the fear, you know, like I, you know, you hear the C word and you can't help but think, oh my God, is she going to live?
First off, my prayers are with your daughter. Thank God she survived that and went through the procedure. I had stage one kidney cancer myself.
That's right. You said that. That's right.
We talked about that. And when you go through that, like you said, as a parent, I couldn't imagine having a child of mine have that, but just going through it myself, it's a very strong metamorphosis that occurs. Thank God your daughter was young, so she's probably not going to remember that. But for you and anyone else who's around her and loves her, that's such a learning experience in many ways. Right. I appreciate you sharing that on the show today, because I know it's a vulnerability, and that's definitely appreciated. And
right.
My heart goes out.
Yeah. I mean, my heart, all of that intent, you know, I'd always said to people in my practice, like when hard stuff happens, like the solution is to let it break you open. So I committed to feeling everything with as much kind attention as I could. Committed to, like, you know, going through the death process with her if I had to. I prayed for grace. Those prayers were answered. You know, those prayers were answered. She didn't have to experience pain that she couldn't do anything about. She didn't have to die. You know, she didn't have to, all the things that I was really, they were really scary, but it opened, you know, my heart opened up to life in a whole new way. I had the urge shortly after that to write a book.
You know, when I asked you earlier about spiritual awakening and all that, I feel like when your daughter had her stuff that she went through, it probably prompted you. It sounds like that was a catalyst as well for you. Mm-hmm. And I admire that. Yeah. I think when you live and go through heartache and hardship, that's a value of being more authentic with yourself and with others. Cause once you learn deprivations of what can happen, you live real and you don't let the material things or things from the past or petty people get in your way of living a quality life.
Yeah. You get real, real quick when that happens, for sure.
And have you ever noticed when you're around people that don't have those experiences and they can't empathize because they're too wrapped up in their own little bubble? I let those people kind of shed away from me. Since the whole COVID thing,
right?
I had a larger group of friends, and you know, we all kept separate. And those people that were like that, they just kind of shot on their own. And I have not, and actually, I feel like that's been a blessing indirectly in a way. It's finding those authentic people for yourself,
right? Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, everyone's on their own journey, and these things, they clarify things for you, and so. yeah, we might find ourselves sort of like, oh, having distance from those people that weren't, maybe they weren't serving us or whatever.
That's a hard lesson about authenticity too, that people in your life that you feel close with, and if they just don't align with you anymore, because you've gone through these life experiences of going through a lot of pain, from pain comes growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you grow on a certain level and these other people haven't grown with you, you know, it's like they stay where they're at and you just keep
growing. You might grow apart.
And there's no negativity to that. It's just part of life.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, with my clients, I mean, that's constantly a thing that people are talking about and dealing with, is like, yeah, just the often grieving the loss of a relationship or whatever, friends, loved ones, in all sorts of different ways as they, as they grow. Sometimes people don't grow along with you.
That's been a lesson.
Or they grow in separate ways. Like, oh, we needed each other for whatever reason during this stage, and now we don't really need that anymore. And that's what our relationship was built on. And so we go apart.
The way I look at that too is like, sometimes letting go of that isn't necessarily the hardest lesson to learn. Sometimes when you hold on to too many of those people, they could weigh you down. So by you being able to learn to distinguish what serves your highest purpose or what aligns best with you, that could also be a way of letting go of the pain, because those could be the people that can hurt you too.
Yeah, right.
Or not
on some level. Yeah, on some level, you got to take care of yourself. You got to put on your, you know, like on the airplane thing, you got to put on your mask before you put on someone else's.
I love that. Self-care.
Self-care, exactly, right?
Tell me your favorite thing about the BioSoul integration that you work with, that you like yourself.
I feel like it's, again, on some level, I'm not doing it. It's been super fun for me and effortless on some level to work that way with people. And people just seem really, really thankful and really grateful often for the work that I'm doing with them. And yeah, it's been a fun thing to, again, it sort of stemmed out of a certain, just to see like the evolution of, you know, I started with conventional chiropractic and then found myself into this more energetically oriented technique, which is the sort of foundation for what I do. But along the way, there's been like therapy and there's been like shamanic work and there's been like psychic help and there's been like, you know, all these different mindfulness meditation. I mean, I've that's the things that I've downloaded from this teacher, these couple teachers that I have that were big. I can see that influence in my work. It's all sort of like come together into this thing. And I just like, what is it that I'm doing? I feel like I'm helping. What the reason that we're here is to integrate our soul's essence into our physical body so that we can share that on the planet. And so I get to be a part of that Absolutely. Thing that's happening in nature, you know?
And I love that.
So, yeah.
How would our audience be able to find you if they want to contact you directly?
I have my website, biosoulintegration.com. All things BioSoul integration can be found there. And then just to remember BioSoul integration. I mean, like the truth is I put my stuff everywhere that there is, that you can put stuff. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, all of the social sites. I have a YouTube channel. I syndicate make videos and syndicate those into podcasts. And so you can find BioSoul Integration Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And so it's in BioSoul Integration is sort of out there in all of its forms. I have a book. You can get on Amazon, find my book, but my website is probably the central headquarters, biosoulintegration.com. If you go to my website, you'll see my book and there's an opportunity there to get a free first chapter of my book if you're interested in that. Other things, I have other ways people can, if you go to biosoulintegration.com/guide, you can get a personalized, you answer one question about what you're experiencing right now in your life, and I'll create this personalized guide to sort of give you a map of where you are on the healing journey. That's something that's cool for people sometimes. So those are some ways.
I want to ask you this as the last question, because we're all on time. Yeah. If you were a spirit animal, which spirit animal would you be and why?
I was always drawn towards, from a very early age, drawn towards all of the paranormal, aliens, Sasquatch, oh, yeah. All of that stuff.
We cover some of that on this show. So,
right. I saw that. Yeah. Something. Yeah. Sasquatch, some cross between Sasquatch, aliens, and the Loch Ness Monster or something. Like, those are, that's where I always was.
Very celestially grounded.
aliens.
I mean, it's universal.
I really dig aliens. And I don't know, that would probably be like a deprecating to an alien to call it an animal. I don't know, but.
I say owl because I have two parrots and I love owls. Are based on wisdom, and I believe they're on a quest for wisdom, like most of us are.
Wish I could show you. I have two owls. My my grandmother, she left her home and went to a nursing home, and she gave her grandkids, she's 103, by the way. She gave her grandkids some stuff. And there were these two owls. I have these two owls sitting up on the lighting up in my in my office here. So
they're amazing, majestic animals.
Owls are powerful, yeah, for sure. I've had, you know, I've done shamanic work and sort of spirit animals. Obviously, it's something that comes out of shamanic work. And so I've had some amazing encounters with all sorts of different spirit guides and spirit animals over the years. Owls, certainly one of them. Yeah.
Dr. J, I just want to thank you for coming on the show and for sharing your insight with us.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you giving us your advice and your keen knowledge of all the things you've experienced yourself.
That's very, very kind of you, Jason. I really appreciate you having me on. It's super, super fun.
I just want to thank Dr. J for coming on the show today and sharing his experience. Every conversation we have on this show is a window into one's point of view from prior experience in life. And I think that Dr. J. Uecker has a really unique perspective studying chiropractic medicine and opening himself up over the years to understanding bio-soul integration and looking at things with energy healing techniques. I believe that this is the cutting edge and this is our future. We're merging spirituality with all the major disciplines in our world over time. I also believe we're in a spiritual renaissance right now, that after this pandemic concludes, that at some point in the future, we'll have a greater understanding and appreciation of the self. I believe that over time, we'll have a greater appreciation of this stuff and it'll help us to grow and become more authentic. That's my hope. So check out Dr. J's information, his website, www.biosoulintegration.com. Do the /guide if you want to check out the other information that Dr. J's referenced, and I'll have his information in our show notes as well. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Stay positive, because when you're positive, anything's possible.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Psychic Radio Show. Don't forget to join us for another episode next time. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. You can also check us out on Facebook, and don't forget to visit the Social Psychic YouTube channel. Until next time, it's a big world out there. Keep an open mind, embrace your paradigms, and know that the universe is always yours to explore.
At Baker's, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the chair?
No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Acid.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed Podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the NatureBack podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Electric Acid.